the Donald Byrd and Pepper Adams quintet performing one of my favorites. It's titled Kuros. It's named after a very popular jazz club. Donald Byrd is on trumpet and Pepper Adams is on baritone sax. And this also happens to be the debut of Herbie Hancock on piano, Lyman Jackson on bass, and Jimmy Cobb on drums. This is from their 1961 album, Out of This World. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and today a discussion that's kind of out of this world, having to do with a subject we have broached many times, but this time it's very interesting because of the lead people, LEAD people involved. NBC News yesterday asked Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell whether his family's history of slave ownership in any way influences his opposition to reparations for slavery. McConnell's response was that former President Barack Obama also is opposed to reparations, and his mother's ancestors also were slaveholders, his mother being white. So we are going to respond to the question, is this a real argument, and does it properly address what will be done about the matter of reparations? And most importantly, what is the significance of bringing people's mothers into a discussion? And what is the significance of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell finding or attempting to convey a kind of brotherhood here between himself and Barack Obama because both their families were connected to slavery? I'll read you the story filed by CNN. It's a short enough story, but it gives a very nice, concise idea of this tit for tat going on in the news. It says, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Tuesday compared himself to former President Barack Obama by noting they both oppose reparations, and both he and the nation's first African American president are descendants of slaveholders. Quote, "You know, once again, I find myself in the same position as President Obama. We both oppose reparations, and both are the descendants of slaveholders," McConnell said, after he was asked if a report from NBC that his relatives were slaveholders changed his views about reparations. McConnell did not say if he knew about his family's ownership of slaves before the report was published on Monday. Obama's office declined to comment on McConnell's remarks yesterday. Multiple media outlets, including the Baltimore Sun and the Guardian, reported during Obama's first presidential run in 2007, his mother's ancestors were slave owners. Obama opposed reparations on the 2008 presidential campaign, answering a questionnaire from the NAACP with, quote, "The legacy and stain of slavery are immeasurable. Nothing, including reparations, can fully compensate," unquote. Obama did say he applauded the underlying sentiment in, quote, "Recognizing the continued legacy of slavery, I would prefer to focus on the issues that will directly address these problems, unquote. More recently, Obama told author Ta-Nehisi Coates in The Atlantic in 2016 that he would rather invest in a more widespread anti-poverty program than a specifically reparations program, making an argument about the political reality of such a proposal. Quote, "So, to restate it, I have much more confidence in my ability, or any president or any leader's ability, to mobilize the American people around a multi-year, multi-billion dollar investment to help every child in poverty in this country than I am in being able to mobilize the country around providing a benefit specific to African Americans as a consequence of slavery and Jim Crow," unquote. Obama said in the interview, quote, "Now, we can debate the justness of that, but I feel pretty confident in that assessment politically," unquote. Coates, who published a touchstone piece on the topic in 2014, recently testified at a House hearing on reparations earlier this year. McConnell has previously invoked Obama's electoral success on the topic of reparations. Last month, he said he opposed reparations for slavery, arguing, quote, "None of us currently living are responsible," unquote, for what he called America's original sin. I quote, "I don't think reparations for something that happened 150 years ago, for whom none of us currently living are responsible, is a good idea," unquote, the Kentucky Republican told reporters in response to a question about whether reparations should be paid or a public apology should be made by Congress to the president. Quote, "We've tried to deal with our original sin of slavery by fighting a civil war, by passing landmark civil rights legislation. We elected an African-American president," he said. Okay, well, there you go. So now we come to the task at hand, and our task is to take all of this in. And what do you make of the arguments by Barack Obama, by McConnell, by CNN and the papers and other people who have been quoted in this argument, in this article? What do you make of their arguments? Are these real arguments? And do these arguments properly address what will be done about the matter of reparations? You see, we haven't really gotten down to the meat and potatoes of it here. It's been talked about in a kind of ethereal way. As Mitch McConnell said, "Well, this is something that happened 150 years ago. Why are we still talking about it? Why are we to be made to bear the burden of repenting? What could we possibly do today to rectify the original sin," as he called it, "of yesterday?" I have some very strong feelings about all these arguments. I agree with none of them. None of them really come to the crux of the matter. But you will tell us today at 888-874-4888 what you make of these matters being raised this way, and whether what you've heard of so far as solutions really sound like solutions. 888-874-4888. Okay, by the time you get on the phone, you should have some good idea of what it is you're thinking. Let's start with Ma'at from Manhattan, from New York. Ma'at, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. That shows you how tired I am. But glad to be with you. I've been missing you because of my sleep schedule, but I appreciate being able to phone through the phone archives. It's very, very helpful, but I'm finally live. Yay! Greetings to the beloved family. Now, let me explain my response to your pointed question, and this will also clear up some misunderstanding, too. I got to take some courses with the Moors in New York City. I guess around the mid-90s, I was studying law and common law because they, you know, they had me going in circles in court with some craziness. And what they, one of the things they taught me, which backed up what Dr. Francis Quest Wells's Fuller. Perry and Theodore Allen said, was they showed us that being white was a status code. And the way that we could actually document this was to go to a Black Law's Dictionary, which is the Bible of, you know, for all law, right? And if you could find one that was 65 or earlier, it actually defined free, white, and 21, and what was actually white. So when you saw that they put the Ethiopians in there, it really became clear that it was a status quo. That's why both of those responses from McConnell, I mean, this guy describes himself as the Grim Reaper, so that's like Bannon as a self-described fascist and Leninist. So these people tell you who they are. And as to Obama's response, being coy, that also didn't make much sense. Anti-poverty versus reparations. He needs to stand on reparations. This is his chance. But as the point I'm also trying to make in this and clearing up and somebody wanting to take me to the woodshed, when I say African descendants, I'm situated on the fact that race is a created concept. So we are all African descendants in the larger aspect. Now, there are times we need to come together in a circle because of this de facto situation of race, but on coast to coast at about 4:45 this morning, if anybody heard it, it was an appropriate guess, and I explained because I'm into this third book now on the alt-right. So as I'm seeing these people full of hate and nonsense, and the first two books was trying to give them some intellectual heft, but I explained.
Yeah, but you're, I have to interrupt you. You're off topic. The question was, I read the article that attributed certain points of view, especially these two particular points of view, Barack Obama's point of view.
McConnell's
point of view.
Yeah, and getting back to that, the best answer to those two are playing a lengthy clip or the whole thing of what Ta-Nehisi Coates had to say, because he referred to McConnell's something happened 150 years ago. Well, you know, to refer to it as something since it's still continuing, and of course, even the concept that we're separate races. Okay, so is worthwhile to listen. I'm sure you could yourself, but he goes through each point. He explains it when we have treaties that you don't say, well, because a 200-year-old treaty is in place, you don't say, well, those generations are no longer around. He breaks it down. And McConnell is just as idiotic as he could want to be, especially saying that Obama is against it. How dare him be
but
so
Obama
shameful?
Obama says it himself. Obama says it himself, out of his own mouth. He is against reparations. He would rather find a solution that would address the question of what we do today. What kinds of legislation, what kinds of things that they could be done today to bring everybody to a more or less equal standard? That's his explanation.
That is nonsense. And the reason why it's nonsense is because you have to get to the root of the problem. I mean, we're still dealing with police writ large now, under this crazy administration. We're still in dealing with police that are just continuing.
But what is the tactic here in this alignment of McConnell with Obama?
It's shameful.
Both against reparations.
It's shameful because the way he couldn't even put a white moderate on the Supreme Court. O'Connell was overtly racist, denigrating toward this administration, so he doesn't even need to mention about the first black president, as he thought that was some form of reparations, because that's ridiculous, too. He did everything. I mean, the things he openly said, you know, that Obama would only be a one-term president. And Obama was naive because he kept thinking, oh, you know, what's they say, kumbaya, whatever, and that never could happen with that guy. And hopefully he's history.
Well, you started us off today a little bit, I would say, a little off the mark, because I'm looking for an analysis. We have this article. And the thrust of the article is that here are two people, one white, one black. But the one who is black is conferring, basically agreeing with this arch-conservative McConnell that reparations are a waste of time. I'm asking, the arguments here, are they legitimate? Are they real arguments? Are they real solutions? Do they offer real solutions? That's the question that we're dealing with today. But you
absolutely
got to start it. You got to start it today.
Absolutely not.
They're not. Thank you. Ed from Queens, what say you? What is the whole point of all of this?
Good afternoon, Chief. How you doing?
Okay.
Just one comment. I wish people would listen to you and really address the question. The question you ask is, do these two men have a legitimate argument based in fact? The answer is no. Okay? Brief history. I've been involved with INCOBRA since 1998. INCOBRA is one of the oldest founding organizations that have a legitimate platform asking for reparations from this government based on factual evidence. What is we're dealing with something that is near and dear to my heart, and that is a cause that I've been involved in for quite some time since I've been on this planet, since I really understood what reparations was, far from the 40 acres and a mule. Reparations, to clarify my position and my answer, brief history. What is reparations? A crime was committed against a group of people in this country, African Americans. We were brought here and changed, we were used to increase this country's wealth, net wealth, and political and economic and world power. We built this country, our ancestors. And a debt must be paid for the persecution of slavery, for the persecution of Jim Crow, for the persecution of redlining, for the 500-plus years of history where to be black in this country was not only a criminal crime, it was an economic crime, it was a moral crime, and you can look throughout history. And reparations must be paid, a redress for the damage, emotional, physical, economic, mental, that was done to a people, specifically by government policy. And the only way this can be rectified is if the government and the people, first of all, acknowledge the debt and seek to correct it through economics, through educational, through emotional or counseling needs. Far better people than me have put it out. And in COBRA, if you go to the website, you can look up the 15-point program that addresses this specifically with programs that are to be put forth in effect far beyond H.R. 40, which was a good start, but we're way beyond that now. The thing that makes me angry with O'Connell and with Obama, O'Connell is using Obama as far as, look, a black man, he ain't for reparations neither, because he doesn't understand what reparations are. He doesn't, and he's in a political framework where he couldn't even acknowledge it if he wanted to, I believe. So, yes, their argument is based in facetious garbage. And the thing that's making me angry now is now that this is really being brought up as a subject in this political venue, there are too many people trying to speak to it that have no idea as to what reparations are, what they mean, and how they should be addressed. That's my answer.
Well, they do have an idea, because the United States has made reparations. Many other countries have made reparations in other countries that in which they did massive wrong. They have since admitted it and made an attempt to kind of ameliorate it. You can't erase the wrong, not at the magnitude that was committed in the United States by British forces and then subsequently by America itself.
Yes.
But what do you see here as the way that the media covered this little, it's a little story, but it has a point. What is the point?
Well, they're using it. They're using what I call a facetious argument. Oh, because you got a black president, there's your reparations. That's it. They're not paying the attention and the detail that this subject grossly deserves. And it's been on the table for a long time.
Agreed. I agree with that point. But what else?
Well, they're playing the race card. Once again, using Obama, because Obama doesn't agree with what I consider to be an actual fact. I mean, a lot of people don't agree on things. That don't mean they're right. And that don't mean his argument is based in any factual reality, other than the fact that he was an elected official of this United States. I mean, come on. But you're using that. You're using his cachet O'Connell is using his cachet to justify his racist and prejudiced predilections towards this, towards other matters, including reparations. This
All
has been
right.
a bone of contention.
You,
of the
you win point years. Number two. Give me point number three.
As it pertains to what? What do you mean, point number three?
As it pertaining to what else is this article doing in the form of, reporting to the public, giving the views of the Senate Majority Leader and the former president both agreeing on something?
Well, it's trying to show a common ground. It's trying to show a common ground between a white man and a black man. See, we don't really need to be considering this. This is God.
But what is most important here? It's very subtle. It's a very subtle argument. But if you pay attention, you would see where even journalism can't be counted on to present a balanced view. Let me answer the question. It is that this was something, they're both discussing something that happened 150 years ago, and then, of course, today it is pure history. There's no vestiges, there are no remnants of anything. It happened in an hour, 150 years ago, and then it was over. So people who are insisting on evoking and raising the question themselves are confused, because this was done 150 years ago. That's why it's a historical fact. That's why we see it in the rearview mirror. There's nothing to discuss here. It's over and done with.
No. You're taking it's just the media. They're taking it completely out of context and not addressing the after effect. Slavery, yes, okay. The actual physical slavery actually is less than 150 years because there were still slaves in 1954. As far as they are still slaves if you want to consider the prison industrial complex and Angola prison. I mean, come on. You've got the media. Well, what passes for the media in this day and age is garbage. To coin a phrase which I hate, fake news. I mean, for want of a better word, propaganda, spin, garbage. No intellectual integrity. No digging at a story. No laying it out and allowing the people to see. When I was a kid, you go to social studies when they used to have journalism. The little bit of journalism we got in high school. Who, what, when, where, how, and why? A story has facets. Answer the five questions. Present the evidence. Present the story, and let the public be the judge, or let the reader be the judge. Don't come with one modified corporate view. You're trying to deliver it happened 150 years ago. We're still dealing with the effects today, and we will be dealing with the effects of this well into the future. America, it wouldn't be America if it wasn't for the contributions of slaves. And black people wouldn't be in the condition and they are in America if it wasn't for the direct actions of this government well into the 1900s, well into the 20th century, and they got to pay. I want my 40 acres and a mule.
Everybody wants their 40 acres and a mule. This was a big promise that never, ever was fulfilled. Thank you, Ed. Good analysis. Chris from Harlem, you're on the air. What's wrong with this? This article that I read, and it should have evoked certain sentiments in you, but it should have triggered your journalistic prowess as well.
Good day, Idris, and peace to the family.
Thank you.
So initially, I start with this. Barack Obama was the first teen American president. He was not the first African American president, as the term African-American is used by those of us that have been here since the beginning of this thing. So the question that McConnell puts, well, if Obama says this, isn't that okay? What I see is two slave-owning families agreeing on the fact that reparations is something that they don't look too kindly on. I don't see it as the black president saying and speaking on behalf of African Americans. Also, the concept of a poverty program. We are not a poor people. This immediate association with poverty is blacks, minorities, and poor folk. It's poor minority black folk. We are not and have never been a poor people. This structure of capitalism was founded and created on our actual physical, mental, and social cultural additions to this thing. So,
all right. If I could encourage you to think of this as you make a presentation, think less about disputing what they presented, the characters, meaning the author of the article and McConnell, and in the quotes also of Barack Obama. Think less of debating the inaccuracies of the article. Think about what was actually said, what was actually reported as, you know, a journalistic exercise. An article is printed, and people are being quoted, and they supposedly are addressing the issue of reparations. How did they choose to present the issue of reparations?
One, yes, as you stated earlier, it's a thing of the past. Where, as in listening to the presentation, it is impossible because I am biased, because I am of this group in which, of which reparations is something that is just intrinsically, if there is ever going to be any type of resolution moving forward within this country, this is something that has to be resolved. Whether we are as a group conscious of it or not, it's something that needs to be resolved. It is not a past thing.
Let's stay with that. Mm-hmm. You are a member, or you consciously, you place yourself in this group.
I was born into this group.
All right. Well, there's a former president. Do you think he recognizes that? Does Mitch McConnell recognize that they're not talking about dead people? They're talking about people like you, who are very much alive, who are very much linked to this question. Do they address you?
Well, over the last 30 years, the phraseology of diversity has done a great job of watering down what the redresses that were a pittance were supposed to be, are. So the popular concept of diversity is no longer truly inclusive of African Americans that have been here for generations. We are not part of that diversity.
Diversity sounds so much tidier, so much kinder than reparations for slavery, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they call it diversity. And we just heard it again referenced, although obliquely, in Obama's quote, that he would prefer, it cannot, the emotional version that you are talking about and how it registers even today in people like you,
mm-hmm.
people like me.
Yes.
That it is more important to get down to the business of redress through programs, economic programs and political programs and social programs. That's how you achieve it. He says, and he gives us permission to disagree with him, Barack Obama, but he really isn't talking. He doesn't actually say the word reparations. He wouldn't touch it. Something psychological prohibits him from even saying the word.
Yitris, I don't have, you see, when we have experienced QE1, QE2, QE3, QE4, unlimited funds appearing out of nowhere and being redistributed to multinational corporations, I don't really give weight to a counter argument to reparations as a thing that can't be done economically, whereas the capital that would be redistributed would still be redistributed within the United States. So by its very nature, it doesn't, there's no counter argument that makes sense when we have had trillions of dollars thrown out, wasted, unaccounted for. If we're talking about the military accounting that has been going on over the last 10 years, if we're talking about the, as I said, quantitative easings that happened to no avail during the same time that we had the so-called first black president, where we had the most defaults and loss of actual property, real estate, for the African-American community within the United States. So I have no, there's no weight to a counter-argument of infusion of capital that would only benefit the security future and it just being of the United States. So any argument
is suspect. What was the point? What was the point in making this parallel between a conservative, an arch-conservative, who is the majority leader in the Senate, and a former president of the United States, one white, one black. What was the point of that? In making us aware that both of them, though in different racial categories, were nonetheless the same in this regard, that they are from families that had links to and benefited and profited from the enslavement of blacks in the United States. What was the point of that?
So I only have a couple of that offhand. The first being the executive and legislative branches, representatives of those two branches, seem to be in league with that concept. So anything that would need to get through the legislative or executive branch would have to go through these particular types of folk, even though he is former president. Also, it also shows the fracturing, or gives an example or an illusion of a fracturing within the African-American community on the very concepts of reparations. Therefore, there is reasonable doubt. And if we can't get it together and if they can't agree on it, then what purpose does it serve? And it doesn't make sense, and we have nothing to worry about. That's how I read that.
Okay. Thank you very much for your input today. You put quite a bit for us to consider on the table. Thanks, Chris, for calling in. Paul from Maryland, you're on the air. It's your turn. What are we to interpret from this article?
Well, I think it goes back to something that you said, well, that you always say when you talk about systems, because what it tells me is that this system puts candidates out there who can eventually become presidents, who are chosen and who have bad policies toward black people in general. And I hate to say it, but McConnell, you know, was actually right. If, you know, Obama was against reparations, yet he was for other groups getting their interests met in a tangible way. So I think that's a pretty unfortunate truth of what McConnell said. And this is in no way supporting him or liking him or anything. I think he's a terrible guy because, you know, he stands, you know, there to block our path to reparations. And I think that it's a systemic issue. This is what institutional racism looks like. You know, when you have a limited pool of people to choose from, and I don't care if it is 20 people, you know, 20, 22 people running for the office, this is what you have to choose from. I don't know if any of them are grassroots, but this is what you have to choose from. People who, if they may have different political ideologies, they seem to agree on this one thing about oppressing black people.
But here we have, I mean, they're reporting it as because they consider it significant. They're not saying, hey, isn't this ironic? But we know the intention here is to show how ironic it is that a very progressive, at least this is how he has been marketed to us, a very progressive, young, forward-thinking, academic-type former president agrees in every respect, in terms of the analysis offered, agrees essentially with Mitch McConnell. What is that about?
Well, I think... Excuse me, I'm kind of a little bit under the weather.
Why can't you do a story on this is what Mitch McConnell said? Why do you
I think that they're drawing an important parallel. Again, you know, I see systems at work. It isn't so much what he, an actor, says, or what Obama, an actor, says. You know, with politics, you always have to look at policy. You know, just because he looks like an African-American and has kinky hair, you know, I've even heard it said by some that he's really a white man, that Obama is really a white man who just happened to have a black African father. You know, and but people always say, well, yeah, you know, he's biracial or his mom is white, but he's not rooted in, by based on lineage, he's not rooted in black American politics.
Oh, we don't know whether he is or not. We're going strictly by what is reported. This is a story that was reported based on information and interviews conducted as recently as yesterday.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we have the institution here that we have to pay attention to is CNN.
Okay. This institution, I mean, I look at all media in general, but okay, let's go with CNN.
Right, exactly. It's the way to go. But this was a story originating with CNN, and this is what they report. I'm asking, what is the meaning of it? What is this story supposed to be doing? Because all stories have a purpose. It didn't just come out, you know, fall out of the sky. Somebody had to assign the story and edit the story and present the story. So it has a purpose. What is the purpose?
That's very easy. What that's meant to say is, if a black president won't do anything for you, why should I, a senator, being McConnell, or any other president like Trump, why should they do anything for you? I think it exactly says that.
Okay. I think you're reading something here. That's great. That's great, Paul. Thank you. Thanks so much for your analysis today. Bruce from New York.
Hello, Yusuf.
How are you?
Fine. Yusuf, I believe that this story was calibrated in order to affect black vote and the Democratic primary. I believe it was to send a message to black people that they can have no confidence in the candidates who are talking about reparations. All right, this is a story calibrated to help the Bidens, the other people who are not so inclined.
Excellent. Continue. You're on to something here.
Well, yes. Well, I think that was the second question that you asked. The first question, but you asked the second question as well, it seems. But in a nutshell, that's how I feel. I don't want to go on a diatribe.
No, it's not a diatribe, but this is incredible analysis. This is important for us to hear.
Mm-hmm.
What brought you to that conclusion?
Because I think I know the mentality of Obama, and I think I know the mentality of McConnell, right? And I know the mentality for sure of the media, all right? And if my judgment of in this political moment, right, that it serves somebody's interest to tell black people that you cannot expect reparations. So as a result, it makes no sense wasting support on people who will want to talk to you about this. This is about controlling the narrative, and they're bringing Obama out of retirement, political retirement, right, to marry him to Cornell in order to get the message through to black people. That's what's happening here.
Well, it has a double purpose, it would seem, because your issue about the timing of it is splendid. Perfect. Because this takes the edge off a certain candidate who recently apologized for anything he might have done to indicate that he was hostile toward blacks. I'm talking about Joe Biden. Who was Biden's second in command? We have the president who's quoted here, although the article doesn't center around him. The article is made to incorporate him. And he is articulating a position one would expect Biden to also make, that reparations, it's difficult to make it work. We need to something that we can implement right now. We can't implement checks for everybody, but we can come to some agreement about a new policies that would address the issue of reparations. It's going to surface.
But
so
no,
your point about timing is excellent.
But that argumentation, it could you know, if we fall for it, right, can lead to the political class kicking this matter into the tall grasses for another 300 years. And that's exactly what they want to do. They don't have to say no by saying no. They can say no bureaucratically, right? By finding a creative means.
This is not just an issue of politics, and it's also an issue of class. Within the black community, as we call it, there are people who are adamantly opposed to reparations because they don't want to be associated with the class.
Agreed.
They're beyond that.
But we've always had that. I mean, Obama has always been that, you know? Obama...
Which is why they chose him again to comment on it. He's still that.
Yeah, exactly.
He is still that.
That's right. Obama was always, to put it loosely, you know, a political pimp, you know, pimping black people for votes. But you see what he did to us for 8 years after he got our vote. So this Obama is no different to the Obama who came to us 8 years ago or 10 years ago to take our votes, right? So, I mean, you know, we're looking at the same man. And I always got the impression that Obama feels very personally hurt if any argumentation goes towards his perception of hurting white people. And he will see a reparations claim, right? In addition to his class, the class formation issue that you talk about, right? But he will see that as something that will hurt white people, and he is not going to do that.
Yes, which makes him very useful in this article. Because in this article, he's a proponent of, let's not waste any more time discussing reparations as has been defined, as we have been debating. Let's move on to something more practical, having to do with jobs and housing and new ways of living to integrate ourselves with the society. That's really where they're going with this. It's very subtle, the way they're doing it.
Right,
but they're doing
even
it.
But even in the subtlety, I mean, the reality now, the existential reality right here now, is that black people as a class are worse off than you in terms of net wealth, than we were 100 years ago. Yeah? Okay. So, and by other measures too, as far as health is concerned, I mean, you can go down. I mean, you listed some on a recent program about child mortality and that type of thing, right? Okay. So if you look at these indicators, you see that we are worse off than we were 100 years ago. So even that argument, you know, it may fool people who are knowing, but it doesn't make complete sense to me at all.
Well, I was hoping you would see how much sense it makes from a strategic point of view.
Precisely. I do. But I mean, it's not in our interest when I say it doesn't make sense, right? But
correct.
It's in their interest.
Correct.
To as a political construct, as a political point, to make these types of arguments, right?
Very good. Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dallas from New York. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Utrice. I think the article is not balanced. Okay, Obama is against it, but who is for it? I think fleshing that out would make it a more balanced article and really more realistic.
It was intended to be balanced. It was intended to pursue this line of reasoning. Here is a white arch conservative. Something is on that needs to be turned off. Are you there?
Sorry, I'm hearing this. I should have turned the radio down. What did you say, Latrice?
It was about presenting the anomaly, supposedly. Here we have the speaker of the majority leader, not speaker, the majority leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, essentially agreeing with a former president of the United States, who a so-called liberal Democrat, and taking the two together, marrying the two, the reader doesn't see very much difference in what they're saying. So it must be that the theory is pretty sound. They both share the same line of reasoning. That's pretty much what the article is saying. And it doesn't draw...
It's not a balanced position. It needs to be, in my mind, it needs to be fleshed out. My question is, okay, Obama's against it, but who is for it?
Well, that's not the point of the article.
I see.
That's
I see that. But I mean, given if that's the thrust of it, again, the first thing popped up in my mind, okay, he former president will grant him that, but... He's not the main spokesperson for what black people think in America.
Exactly, which is why he's so prominent in the article.
I see.
Because he is presenting a point of view that essentially the media itself agrees with. They don't agree with this reparations talk, but in as much as they have to draw some kind of parallel... This is a great parallel. Obama, you could actually picture Obama and the speaker holding hands and dancing in the fields because they agree on so much. There's peace and harmony. They're not disagreeing.
I see that.
Okay. But if you were to read this thing fast... You wouldn't get the point that this is a piece of propaganda. This is how propaganda creeps into our minds because we let our guards down. Obama, everybody knows, was a very popular president, especially among black people. So they're not saying he's expressing the, quote, black point of view, unquote. But he is in this article. That's how he's used in this article. He's used in a very subtle way to destroy the argument about reparations.
Yes, yes. To try
All
to
right.
dilute its validity.
Exactly. To give it validity. And he's happy to be quoted, I'm sure. He was actually interviewed. This is what he said. So where does that leave all these tens of thousands of people who are arguing and debating the issue? He just cut it down. And in the upcoming debate, I want to go back to Bruce's point, a question of timing, with any attempt, if there's any attempt to face down Joe Biden on this question, he has a ready-made issue. This is a bipartisan agreement. And who entered into it but the very popular former black president of the United States? You see how it goes? It looks like a simple article, but it is not. Thanks, Dallas, for calling in today. This brings us to the end of our program. And I was hoping, and I think we discovered that people are on to this, even though they have to stop for a moment and think. And that is not their fault. It is that propaganda has become so slick. They're ahead of most of us in the thinking department. You know, they've already taken about three leaps ahead of us on how we are likely to react to something. And this is the way people's thoughts and therefore actions are carefully tended to, so as to have predictable outcomes. They don't want anybody raising questions about reparations. The article doesn't even talk about that. Who is raising these questions? And what are the issues that they're raising? The article doesn't talk about that. The article, and this is out of CNN, is simply to present a new reality, a small piece of it, but an effective piece, that there is this bizarre meeting of the minds, in a way, between Mitch McConnell and Barack Obama. And life is sweet. Reparations? What reparations? We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.